Amen. Anyone anyone excited?
Amen.
I like that. Anyone grateful that we get to be in relationship with an almighty God by the blood of Jesus?
Amen.
It's good. Glad we can agree on that point at least. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Ben. I get to be the pastor here at our church. I want to start off this morning by, let me just say what I said last week. I'm proud to be a part of this church. I'm proud to be a part of South Everett Foursquare. I'm proud to be a part of what God is doing here on Casino Road. And to see how we are listening and hearing and seeing what God is doing, and we're getting to partner with what God is doing, and we are stepping up and stepping in. It's awesome to see you guys texting each other, messages encouraging each other throughout the week, to see you guys praying over each other throughout the week, to see you guys talking about Jesus to your friends, to see you guys stepping up and serving and loving each other. This is it, guys. That's it. Proud to be a part of you. I also want to start off this morning the same way we began and ended our message last week. And it's simply by saying, God, I want everything that you would have for me. I want everything that you would have for me. And sometimes there are things that hold us back from what God wants from us. Maybe that's something inside of us. Maybe that's something that has happened in our experience in our past. Maybe that's a misunderstanding that we have. And whatever that may be, I want God to show us that. I want God to remove any hindrances. And I honestly just want everything that God has for me.
Amen.
We may need a couple more amens than that.
Amen.
There we go. So let's position ourselves in that way as we go into the message this morning. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to articulate a prayer for myself and for all of us, but it's going to be all the more powerful if you are saying that prayer in your heart as well. Right? Say, God, I want everything. I want everything that you would have for me. So, Father, we come here this morning. God, I'm expectant. I'm excited. I want everything that you would have for me. Lord, if there's anything standing in the way of that, that is in my own power, would you reveal that to me? And help me just to get rid of that, because I don't want anything standing in the way of all that you would have for me. And now that that's clear, I pray that over all of my friends here this morning. God, all hindrances be laid down in the name of Jesus. Whether we know they're there or not, show us, God. We want everything that you'd have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the title of the message this morning is Empowered for Difference. And this morning, I have something with me. I have something with me under this towel, in fact. I have something with me. And this something, well, it makes up about 60% of the human body. This something makes up 92% of the blood that courses through your very veins this morning. It makes up 75% of, yeah, I just did that, your muscles. Come on. Right? It makes up 22% of your bones. What do I have with me? Good old-fashioned H2O in a blender bottle, because that's how I roll this morning. And it's just water. It smells, it looks. Yeah, it's water. It is indeed water. And I guess the question is, while I have this water with me right here, what good is this water if it's just with me? I mean, some could argue some cases. But what benefit does it actually have just to be with me? Okay, but watch this. Listen closely. Okay. I just drank some of that water. I feel it going down my throat. I feel it refreshing in my mouth. I feel it going down my esophagus. I feel it in my stomach. It is cool. I know that I know that I know that I've got water inside of me now. And it is revitalizing me. It is refreshing me. And now I have water with me, and I've got water inside of me. And now that I've got water inside of me, there are a whole lot more benefits than just having water with me. Let me tell you some of those benefits. It increases energy. It decreases fatigue. It promotes weight loss. It removes toxins from our bodies. It improves skin complexion right before your very eyes. Do I look prettier? It maintains regularity. It boosts our immune system. It prevents cramps and strains. A human can survive for about a month without food, but only for about 7 days without drinking water. This water is with me, and now I've got it inside of me. I know that it is inside of me. It's refreshing me. It is rejuvenating my mouth. That water is in me. Now watch this. Now where's that water? I've got water with me, I've got water in me, and now I've got water on me. What good is that? What good is this? Well, you see, now I can get that water on all of you. Now that water is not only with me, but that water is inside of me. Now this water that is on me, it's empowering me to get it all over everyone else. It's empowering me to share the love. Can I get an amen? Amen. As we're working through this series called Empowered, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, this is the language that the Bible actually uses regarding the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit with us and in us and on or upon us. I want to start here in John chapter 14. We'll see some scriptures up on the screen. We're eventually going to get to Acts chapter 4. So we're going to hit some scriptures before we get there. So John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says this, makes this comment. He says, "If you love me." Now that automatically kind of gets my attention. If my wife or my best friend or any of you guys, or I think if anyone really said, if you love me, I'm going to listen up. Because essentially what they're saying is, this is how you show your love for me. This is an important statement. So we're listening now. If you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. There it is, the Holy Spirit with you. See, unlike the water just being with us and not having a whole lot of benefit, there is actually quite a bit of benefit for the Holy Spirit to be with us. In John chapter 16, Jesus speaks of the role of the Holy Spirit in convicting of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Essentially what he's saying there is the Holy Spirit's work in the world right now is convincing the world of the truth of Jesus Christ, of the sin that it is to not believe in him, of the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ and that we can have, and the judgment to come. Now, I think we have shied away from this talk a little bit of the judgment to come. But we mustn't forget that it is a part of the gospel. It is. That there truly is a heaven and there truly is a hell, and every single person on this earth is going to go to either one of those depending upon how we choose to respond to this invitation. See, there's an invitation right now. The Father's saying, come. I want to be in relationship with you. And I paid the price by giving up my one and only son so that we could be in relationship. Or will you respond? Will you respond? So the Holy Spirit with us. And here in John 14, Jesus also speaks of the world not receiving the Spirit. And there's just this receiving aspect when it comes to life with Jesus and the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. We know that we're not robots, right? We have a choice to make. The Holy Spirit is working in our lives. He is with us. If you are here this morning, the Holy Spirit is with you. Even if you're not here this morning, the Holy Spirit is with you, convicting of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. He is convincing us of the truth of Jesus. But we get to respond. And when we do respond and say, all right, Jesus, I believe that Jesus is real, that He lived a sinless life, that He lived an example for us, that He died on the cross, that He was laid in the grave for 3 days, and that tomb was closed, and then it was opened, and 3 days later, Jesus came back to life. Right? I believe that. And when we believe that, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. Right? It's like now drinking that water. That Holy Spirit is now inside of us, revitalizing and refreshing and renewing. Right? Scripture says that we are then born again. We are born of the Spirit. Now, just as that water had been with us and then inside of us, the Holy Spirit is with us and inside of us. And there's a whole lot more benefit with that. Now, I want to look at another story here in Acts chapter 8. The man named Philip. In the early church, Philip is empowered by the Holy Spirit to be an evangelist. He speaks with great boldness and authenticity. And when he speaks, people listen. And he goes around speaking this message of Jesus Christ that I'm talking to you about this morning. And he goes to this place called Samaria. And he goes and he shares this message with them. And he's doing all these powerful things. And people are responding. People are saying, I believe that. And they're giving their lives to Jesus. And we're going to see this in Acts 8:14. It says, now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, right? So Philip goes there. People give their life to Jesus. They are responding. They have the Holy Spirit with them. They have this Holy Spirit inside of them. And then they send Peter and John there. It says, they came down and they prayed for them that they might, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. For He had not yet fallen on them. But they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So for whatever reason, when Philip gave the message of Jesus Christ to them, the Holy Spirit was with them. He came and lived inside of them, renewed them, rejuvenated them. There's a new church there in Samaria of brand new Christians, but the Holy Spirit had not come on them in that power that we've been talking about. So is it possible to be saved and not baptized in the Holy Spirit? It would seem that this would point out yes. So the Holy Spirit with you, Holy Spirit in you, and Holy Spirit on you. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit being on or upon you, we refer to this as baptism in the Holy Spirit. The word used for baptism throughout the New Testament is this Greek word baptizo. We got to say that together. Ready? Baptizo. Baptizo. You got the hands in there too. Come on now. Baptizo. Right? This word depicts a full immersion. Right? We think of it in terms of water baptism. Right? Someone going fully in the water and coming out. Think back a couple of weeks ago. We got to baptize 4 people here. Right? And when they went into the water, they came back out and there was water all up on them. Right? All over them. And that's the same word and the same depiction that's used for baptism in the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is now coming on and upon you, right? You, just like that water all over you, you've got the Holy Spirit all over you. And we call this baptism in the Holy Spirit or Holy Spirit baptism, not because we're Pentecostal, but because we're people who try and live and communicate the best we can from the Bible. It's in Mark 1:7-8, that John the Baptist says, after me comes he who is mightier than I. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus here. The strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water. Right? What was John the Baptist doing? He was down dunking people in the water. They were going fully under, coming fully back up. So I have baptized you with water, but He, speaking about Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Right? So we've got Holy Spirit with us, in us. on us. This is a part of who we are as Foursquare, the four squares of our belief. We believe that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. We believe that Jesus is our healer. Can anybody attest to that?
Amen.
We've seen Jesus heal. Jesus is our soon and coming King because He is coming back.
Amen.
And Jesus is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. The four squares of Foursquare. This promise of this Holy Spirit coming and baptizing people is exactly what we were talking about this past week as we opened up our Empowered series. We talked about what makes a promise that we actually want. And I told you about several promises that I could think of. I had talked about going up to this kid's windows who were sitting in a car out front of my house. I went up to their window with a shotgun, knocked on it with a shotgun, and said, "If you guys ever come back here, I will shoot you." Right? I made that promise. We saw the promise of Taken, right? "If you don't give my daughter back, I will find you and I'll kill you." He's got a better voice, but right, he makes that promise. Those were negative promises, right? There are some more positive promises I thought of. I thought of the promise I made to Victor when the Lord began showing me what He was doing in Victor's life, and I made this promise, "Man, I'm going to do everything that I can to see you step into what God has called you to do." And I thought of that promise. This I promise you. If you weren't here last week, y'all missed out.
That's right.
I'm just saying, lip sync into NSYNC. Someone said, "It's too bad we don't got video." And I'm like, "No, it ain't." Right? I made a promise to Alicia. She made a promise to me, a covenant before God, that we were going to love each other through thick and thin. What makes a promise one that we actually want? We saw two things that primarily make this up is a favorable outcome, right? A promise that we actually want, and an able promise maker, right? And so from there, we began looking at these different instances and different examples in the Bible. We saw Moses, who didn't necessarily want to be a leader, right? The Spirit of God came on him. We saw the 70 leaders under Moses who were going to help Moses lead the people. We saw the Spirit of God come upon them, empowering them. We saw Othniel, one of the judges. We saw Samson, right? All of these men had the Holy Spirit come upon them, empower and enable them to lead the way that they were called to lead. And at the core of what they were doing was they were making a way for the people of God to come back into right relationship with God through various different avenues. But they were making a way for the world around them to be reconciled to God. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was empowering them to do that. And then we began seeing that this empowerment of specific people, this was actually going to be available for all of God's people. This was the promise of God, that all of God's people would be able to have this same empowerment. And then we realized that as many of us are Gentiles, non-Jewish folk, that we are grafted into the people of God by the blood of Jesus. And so now this promise is for you and you and you. It's for all of God's people. Grateful for that. We saw that this promise was made available, that the promise maker is actually able to fulfill this promise on Pentecost Sunday, which we celebrated last week. Right? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit as the disciples listened to Jesus promise them that this was going to happen. This was going to take place. And then they gathered there in one accord in faith in the upper room, 120 of them praying to God with expectation. And the Holy Spirit was poured out. That promise is available to us now. And so we looked at all of this and said, is this a promise that we want? Is this a promise that's favorable for us? Well, I mean, we saw Jesus water baptized. He went in the water. He came out. And then the Holy Spirit descended upon him and remained on him. Right? We saw Jesus told the disciples to wait for this to happen. And they did. They received the Holy Spirit. And as the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we see this powerful thing happen. Read through the book of Acts and just read through it slowly. It's, oh, this is incredible, folks. It's by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that these men, it's because of this promised Holy Spirit empowering these men that they went out and preached a message. And on that first day, 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus. It's by the baptism of the Holy Spirit that the church of Jesus, as we see in the book of Acts, was formed. And from there, we see it continue to grow in the following chapters of Acts. And so I guess the question that I've been processing through is that if the church has begun because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was grown because of that baptism of the Holy Spirit, should it be sustained today because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I mean, I think you can get my argument. Yes. Is this a favorable outcome? Yes. Is the promise maker able? Yes. You want it? You tell me. The purpose of baptism in the Holy Spirit, we've inadvertently talked about this a bit already, but the Holy Spirit is empowering us to be Jesus' witnesses. And by the way, what does a witness do? In a court of law, what does a witness do? Right? They testify. This is what took place. Right? If we're witnesses of God, we got to be testifying. Come on. We got to open our mouths. God's enabling us to be reconcilers of the world. We see in Acts 1:8, what Jesus said to the disciples. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria to the ends of the earth." This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's empowering us to be these witnesses, to carry out this message, right? This whole past message series before this one was living on mission. How do we live on this mission that I'm calling us to do? How do we transform Casino Road? How do we transform our families and our workplaces and our schools? By the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. This is how we do it. We'll talk about how this all looks in a minute, but what I feel like is often missed when we talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit is this. Our pursuit of power, which is what we're talking about, our pursuit of power should never be divorced from our pursuit of intimacy. Our pursuit of power should never be divorced from our pursuit of intimacy. We don't want power for the sake of just being mighty. We want power because it's a gift from God to glorify God. Right? It's a gift from God to glorify God, which is received and is grown through intimacy, through close relationship with God. I was reminded of a quote this week. And I'm probably going to butcher it, so forgive me if you actually know this quote. But it's something that a great local pastor, a great teacher of the Bible, his name is Dr. Steve Schell. He shared, was teaching on baptism in the Holy Spirit, and he said this: "Baptism in the Holy Spirit is not about us receiving more of God, but about Him receiving more of us." So, when I'm talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit, if I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit and you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying, I get more of God. Right? What I'm saying is that I'm living in a place of fully letting myself go. God, I want to be completely used by You. I'm letting everything else go. I'm fully submitted to You. Have it. Have it. I'm living before God. Yeah. Yeah, our pursuit of power should never be divorced from our pursuit of intimacy. So what does this look like? What does it look like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And we'll look at several instances in the upcoming weeks. This will be a question we will continue to answer. So what I'm talking about this morning is not going to be an exclusive list of this is what you must look for. Right? These are the only things that take place when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. But we should notice these things that I'm going to talk about this morning. And to answer this question, I want to look at someone who we've seen before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and someone who we see after he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's this guy, Peter. He's pretty prevalent throughout the Gospel as well as into Acts. Peter's made a name for himself. I like to call him Foot and Mouth Peter, right? Help me remove my shoe from my mouth. Because Peter has a way of saying stuff a lot. He has a way of saying the wrong things at the wrong times. Like, this is that Peter. This is that same Peter who, when people are like, oh yeah, you're affiliated with Jesus, right? And he's like, nope, right? Not only once, not only twice, but thrice, right? Three times he denies Jesus. But then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, right now turns into a fire-speaking, fire-preaching, tongue-speaking, miracle-healing, incredible man of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was thinking, and this is more so just to let you into my own brain a little bit. So I'm sitting there putting this message together, and I'm thinking through. I'm like, all right, empowerment, Peter, power, Peter. And all of a sudden my mind goes, Peter Parker. Really? Peter Parker? Spider-Man? Right. And so I've been this is just kind of how I am. My mind just goes. Phew! And so I start thinking like, OK, yeah, which would I rather have? Like, which would I rather be? This Peter from the Bible or Peter Parker? I'm like, huh? Bitten by a spider to get powers or Holy Spirit? I'm going to take Holy Spirit. I mean, spiders are of the enemy. So we'll just. Right. Shooting spider webs and climbing these mountain high buildings or healing people and moving mountains. I'll take that one. So Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, heals a man. He ends up healing a man who was crippled for 40 years since birth. Just nuts. Right? He gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. People are speaking in tongues and everyone's like saying, oh, they're just drunk. And Peter's like, no, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. This promise that we've known about for all of this time is actually taking place. I'm not making this up, folks. I mean, you read it in your Bible and you tell me. Right? This is what happens. And people give their life to Jesus. And then after this, Peter and John make their way to the temple, to the synagogue, as they're going to have a prayer service. And there's this man. There's this man sitting there. And he can't walk. And you think about the issues of being crippled, right? I mean, there's whatever is wrong with their actual body who's making them so they can't walk. And then you've got 40 years of muscle atrophy, right? You've got to overcome that part. Or I think we would still call it atrophy if maybe, whatever. Their muscles aren't formed properly to be able to function to walk. And then on top of that, you've got to learn to walk. I mean, walking back and forth here this morning, you've probably seen me trip, so I'm still working on this at 31, right? But you see someone like a little kid, it takes a while to learn how to actually walk, right? You see someone who has had surgery, it takes a little while for them to relearn how to walk when they've lost that function. So it takes time. But Peter and John, man, okay, this guy is right next to the synagogue. He's saying, alms for the poor, right? Do you have anything that you can spare me? Because I can't work. I need some money. I need help. That's what I'm sitting here for. And Peter and John, Peter looks at him and says, I don't have silver and gold. I'm not rich with money, but I'll give you what I got. I'll give you what I got. In the name of Jesus, stand up and be healed. And this guy, not only overcomes the whole issue that was causing him not to be able to walk, not only overcomes the muscle atrophy, not only overcomes actually having to learn to walk, because he's never done that before, right? He gets up, starts walking around, and it actually says that he's jumping around. Like, this has to blow your mind just a little bit. Like, I don't ever see that with children or whatever, like learning to walk and they just start jumping. I've seen them like go from crawling to running. I've heard of that before. But crawling to jumping, I just haven't seen that before. There's some muscle development there that has to take place. This is incredible. This is incredible. And so what happens is this man goes around and people are seeing him being like, what is just happening? This is This is awesome. And this brings us to Acts chapter 4. Let's read this together. It says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came up to them, and they were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." They're essentially saying that Jesus died and He did rise again, that our God is alive. And the Sadducees simply didn't believe in resurrection from the dead. So they were, I have it underlined in my Bible, they were greatly annoyed. Right? So they arrested Peter and John. They put them into jail. It says, "But many of those who heard the word, they believed, and a number of men came, about to 5,000. Think about that number. I mean, 5,000. "On the next day, their rulers and the elders and the scribes, they gathered in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had set them in their midst, they inquired, 'By what power and by what name do you do this?' Then Peter," and I have this underlined in my Bible because this is an emphasis that the Bible is making. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and the elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed that was done to this crippled man, and by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. If you are someone who highlights or circles or underlines in your Bible, this next verse might be one of those that you need to underline or highlight. 'And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.'" If you came here seeking this morning, or considering different ways that you could get to heaven, or different ways that you should be living, let me tell you this: there is but one way to heaven. There is the way, the truth, and the life. That is Jesus. Right? There is salvation in no one else. Verse 13. "Now when these people saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, that they were common men, and they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition." I mean, what can you say about that? The man who everyone knows who's been crippled for 40 years is now jumping around, right? That's, you can't really say anything. Like, he's faking it. Okay. "But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another. Again, they said, 'What should we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them. It's evident throughout all of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let's warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name.' So they called them, they charged them not to speak or to teach at all the name of Jesus. But Peter and John, they answered them, they said, 'Well, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, well, you're going to have to judge that part. For we cannot but to speak of what we have seen and heard.'" Folks, we need to grab a hold of this type of vision. We need to grab a hold of this type of idea. That what we have seen Jesus do and what we have heard about Jesus, we just can't keep it in. It doesn't matter if the government is coming against us, right? We need to speak of this. This good news is actually good. And we got to share it. This is the only true way to experience love. This is the only true way to experience true joy, to experience true peace. And we get to experience that forever. Oh, friends, this is good news. It's good news. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of all the people. They were all praising God for what had just happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. So what does it look like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? I've got two simple answers for us this morning. The first is this: you look different. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you just look different. We look at Peter here, right? This Peter who's been timid, this Peter who wasn't speaking up about Jesus. It says in in Acts 4:8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, right? So now it's not surprising that Peter spoke, right? Peter's a big talker. He speaks a lot. But what's different is that he is now speaking about Jesus. You think about this whole situation. Peter was just thrown in jail overnight, and now he's standing before the leaders, and they are, I mean, possibly going to punish him even more. And so these leaders are saying, all right, Peter and John, you guys need to stop talking about Jesus, or there could be more punishment. This is the implication of this whole ordeal. And Peter and John say, there is something different about Peter. There's something different. They look different. So when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you look different than you used to, and you also look different than others who are like you. We see that in verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated men, common men, and they were astonished. We may look like everyone else around us. We may look like other hipster pastors or other high schoolers or other business folks or other whatever, but we're different because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Right? We have the living God empowering us. That changes the way that you look. Through baptism in the Holy Spirit, God takes ordinary men and women and uses them in extraordinary ways. It's the truth found in Scripture. You'll look different because you're empowered to live different. So what does Holy Spirit baptism look like? You look different and you make a difference. You look different and you make a difference. Acts 4:4 says, and it shows us the difference that Peter made. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. We know that oftentimes in the Bible, when it recites numbers like this, it just refers to the men. So think about their families. But let's just start at 5,000. What difference did Peter make? 5,000. By the way, that's just in a couple days. That's a bit of a difference, yeah? 5,000 lives? So what difference could you make? And by me saying that, let that sit in for a minute. What difference could you make in your world, in your family, in on Casino Road, in your neighborhood, right? What difference could you make? And for some of you, when I say that, you're like, yeah, Ben, let's do this. Right? I can make a difference, you know. And some of us may be feeling like, I don't really know. I don't really know how much of a difference I could make. So let me pose you this question. What difference could God make? What difference could God make? Because when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you get to take what difference can God make and bring it into what difference could I make. Because you're submitted to God. You're close with God. He is empowering you to make a God-sized difference. What difference could God make is now a part of your story as we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning, you have the Holy Spirit with you. If you're not here this morning, you have the Holy Spirit with you. If you've given your life to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And upon receiving baptism in the Holy Spirit, you're being empowered by Him to make a difference. For followers of Jesus, for the people of God, this promise that we've seen, this promise that God has promised to make available to us by the Holy Spirit coming upon us, we do have to receive it. Remember that whole concept of not being robots? Right? When those people who were baptized a couple of weeks ago in that tub right outside here, we weren't forcing them underwater. They made the decision, I want to be there. I want to testify in front of my friends and my family that I believe in Jesus. We weren't forcing them. They made that decision. So it is with being baptized with the Holy Spirit. You have to make that decision. I heard an illustration, I think it was last week. It's like the Holy Spirit knocking on your door, right, and you open it. You've got to welcome Him in. I love it. You want it. Do you want Him? Do you want to be more submitted to Him? Do you want to see this power on display? Do you want to see these things that we read about in Acts? I mean, 3,000 on one day, 5,000 on another day. People giving their lives in mass numbers. A world transformed by the power of God working through His people. I want to be that one. Anybody with me?
Amen.
Let's stand. As we come to a close. Here's the deal. If you have not, or you are not sure if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, here's what I want you to do. Next week, we're going to have a message specifically about receiving baptism in the Holy Spirit, what that entails, the important parts of it. But I don't believe we've got to wait till then. Here's what I want. I don't want this to be a coercion thing either, where I'm like, you got to get this. You know, here's what it's got to be. God, I want all that You have for me. I see this promise within Scripture. I see this promise taking place. I see people receiving this. I see a world being transformed because of this. And I want that. So let's start there. Father, we come to You and we want that. God, we know that every good and perfect gift is given from You. No, this is a gift. We want it, Lord. We want to be empowered. Lord, this vision that You've given me and many of us who are here, this vision to see Casino Road transformed by the power of God, we can't do this alone. This vision to see our families on fire for Jesus, this vision to see our workplaces transformed, to see our schools transformed, to see gang violence end, to see drugs and prostitution end. We can't do this alone, but You've made a way by the empowerment of Your Holy Spirit. You can give us boldness where we're not bold, where there's a requirement of the miraculous for people to believe. You can empower that. God, we want that. So let's just seek Him. God, we seek You. Give us what we need, Lord, to represent You well, to be witnesses of You to the rest of the world. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that You'd fill afresh. If you're seeking to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, would you just seek genuinely throughout this week? For those of us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, let's commit to pray every single day for this. Let's be a church who's empowered by the Spirit of God to glorify Jesus as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to represent Him well. Jesus' name. Amen. Chris, would you send us out?
We would love to pray for you if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning. So we'll have people who are ready to pray for you. And if you're a newcomer, we also have a gift for you as you leave. I'm going to read from Ephesians 3. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of God, the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.